It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
On this vote, the ayes are 232. The nays are 197. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
All right, last night, the President of the United States, our President, Donald Trump, was impeached for the second time. He's the only president in the history of the country that has been impeached twice. And this is what Nancy Pelosi had to say about it in another statement. She said, "We know that the President of the United States incited this insurrection, this armed rebellion against our common country. He must go. He is a clear and present danger to the nation that we love." 10 Republicans voted in favor. They were Liz Cheney, John Katko, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Fred Upton, Michigan, Jamie Herrera Butler of Washington, Dan Newhouse of Washington, Gonzalez Anthony from Ohio, Tom Race from South Carolina, David Valadio from California, and Peter Meyer from Michigan. A lot of Michiganers in there. So I thought you might want to know who those people are, because I think it's quite clear that they betrayed their country last night. This is unbelievable, really, what happened. And so on the floor, Guy Reichenthaler, who is a former Navy prosecutor, he's a current representative from the state of Pennsylvania, said at his rally, "President Trump urged attendees to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. There was no mention of violence, let alone calls to action. President Donald Trump's words would not even meet the definition of incitement under criminal statutes." Tom McClintock of California said, "That's impeachable. That's called freedom of speech." The president also threatened to oppose Republicans in future elections, including McClintock, who didn't support objections to slates of electors. Well, so what? That's called politics. If we impeached every politician who gave a fiery speech to a crowd of partisans, this Capitol would be deserted. Kevin McCarthy, who is the minority leader, said that Trump holds responsibility for that attack on Congress, but opposed the rush to impeachment. So he found a safe space to land there, did Kevin McCarthy, the best friend of the president. Let me see. There's a couple of other things I wanted to share with you. I want to emphasize to you something I told you yesterday, that the president was still speaking to all his supporters, to those, whoever knows how many people, million people, when he spoke to them right before the vote in the House and the joint session of Congress. They were still there 30 minutes after the assault on the Capitol had begun. And a point is made that how could Trump supporters who were there to listen to him have participated in that initial incursion and breaking through and to get into the Capitol? They weren't there. Oh, well, some of them might have been there, but it certainly wasn't President Trump at the end of his speech urging them to go to the Capitol and wreak havoc, and they went down and then they broke in. That's not how it happened. It's not how it happened. That's not the timeline. There were people breaking in when he was still speaking. So how did that happen? So the president couldn't possibly have incited that initial incursion. Liz Cheney, of course, is the third person in charge in the Republican conference. She's the Republican conference chair. Liz is the daughter of Dick Cheney, the former vice president under George W. Bush. I've known Liz for a long time, and I have had great respect for her. And I was really excited, actually, when she won the seat in Wyoming. But much has changed. Seldom do people get to that place and not change dramatically, and I've never actually seen them change in a good way. This is what Liz Cheney said yesterday in her statement. "Much more will become clear in the coming days and weeks, but what we know now is enough. The President of the United States summoned this mob, assembled this mob, and lit the flame of this attack. Everything that followed was his doing. None of this would have happened without the President. The president could have immediately and forcefully intervened to stop the violence. He did not. There has never been a greater betrayal by a president of the United States of his office and his oath to the Constitution. I will vote to impeach the president. Liz has always been so brilliant and insightful, and this is so distorted. You have to know that George W. Bush, I hope maybe some people in Texas who live next door to him or someone who knows him are listening, I have to say, one of the greatest disappointments of my life is to see him become so petty in his final years. They're upset because President Trump went after Jeb Bush, and that was frustrating and angering and really beneath. That's when President Trump was a candidate, and he did a lot of things that upset me. He insulted Ted Cruz. Ted understood, though, in this situation, that the nation, the country, the republic is at stake. And he rose above that. He made peace with the president, and he's helped him in any way he could. And I think President Trump has changed and moderated. That's my view of this. But not so much George W. Bush, not so much any of those never-Trumpers who have been well on the bandwagon to this destruction. And while they're accusing President Trump of destroying the Constitution or trying, that's actually what they're doing. They are undermining the very future of their republic. It is mind-blowing because they hate him so much. It's just stunning. Well, there's never been an impeachment where they didn't have a hearing and presenting the evidence. They didn't do anything like that last night. But I wanted you to hear a few things that were said on the floor because you need to hear what happened last night. Jim Jordan stood and was the clear-thinking champion he always is. This is clip 7.
In his opening remarks, the Democrat chair of the Rules Committee said that Republicans last week voted to overturn the results of an election. Guess who the first objector was on January 6, 2017? First objector, the Democrat chair of the Rules Committee. And guess which state he objected to? Alabama. The very first state called, Alabama. President Trump, I think, won Alabama by like 80 points. Actually, he won it by 30 points. They can object to Alabama in 2017, but tell us we can't object to Pennsylvania in 2021. Pennsylvania, where the state Supreme Court just unilaterally extended the election to Friday. Pennsylvania, where the Secretary of State unilaterally changed the rules, went around the legislature in unconstitutional fashion. Pennsylvania, where county clerks in some counties, and you can imagine which counties they were, let people fix their ballots against the law, cure their ballots, their mail-in ballots, direct violation of the law. And they tell us we tried to overturn the election. Guess who the second objector was in 2017? The individual managing the impeachment for the Democrats. Americans are tired of the double standard. They are so tired of it. Democrats object to more states in 2017 than Republicans did last week, but somehow we're wrong. Democrats can raise bail for rioters and looters this summer, but somehow when Republicans condemn all the violence this summer, the violence last week, somehow we're wrong. And Democrats can investigate the President of the United States, as Mr. Hoyer went through, try to impeach him, investigate him for 4 years, but will not look at an election that 80 million Americans, half the electorate, 80 million Republicans and Democrats have their doubts about. I said this last night, I do not know where all this goes, and this is frightening for the country. We should defeat this rule, and we should defeat the impeachment resolution when it comes up.
All right, so that's part of what happened on the floor last night. Of course, Congressman Jordan is talking about what happened, basically, is when the incursion into the Capitol took place. It was the genesis or the catalyst to shut down all the debate in the joint session of Congress. Because what they had planned to do was just, listen, we want you to look at the evidence that it was perfectly constitutional, legal, everything they were doing. They just simply wanted the American people to hear the evidence that we had gathered. I'll say we because I feel part of the team, even though I didn't gather the evidence. I certainly delivered it to you. And so they wanted the American people to hear that. They wanted congressmen to hear that, probably for the first time ever. And American people who know nothing because they just listen to CNN and PBS and now Fox. And they knew nothing about what the evidence was, and there was so much of it. No court ever heard it. No court took the time to listen to it. And so they were trying to stop that, and they did. They did manage to stop the review of the evidence, and that's just what those senators and congressmen, that represented us so faithfully last week were trying to do. So now they're in the crosshairs. And I'll get to that in a second because I do want to talk about that. I want to get to Matt Gaetz because, in fact, let's do that. I just want to interject that 19 minutes after President Donald Trump was inaugurated on January of 2017, the headline in the Washington Post was, "The campaign to impeach President Trump has begun." The campaign to impeach President Trump has begun. That was 17 minutes after he took the oath of office, just to put this in perspective. Okay, so Matt Gaetz, our congressman from Florida, stood up and gave a powerful speech himself. Let's listen.
Mr. Speaker, some of us objected
clip 11.
4 years ago as a protest vote to raise
concerns. Clip 11, please.
Seems to me that impeachment is an itch that doesn't go away with just one scratch. It also seems that President Trump may be most likely to be impeached when he is correct. Before the last presidential impeachment, President Trump rightly pointed out the improper activities of the Biden crime family, and subsequently he's been proven right. And don't think for a moment, Madam Speaker, that we're going to drop that or stop our pursuit for the truth. Before that, we had the Russia hoax, where you had the president rightly making claims that Hillary Clinton and the DNC were colluding with Russians to disorient our democracy. How right he turned out to be. And then we have the 2020 presidential election, where the president correctly pointed out unconstitutional behavior, voting irregularities, concerns over tabulations, dead people voting, and now impeachment again. When they go low, we kick them. Eric Holder, former Attorney General under Barack Obama, breaching the Capitol was as low can be. We all denounce it. But who is it that they're kicking? The president, who created soaring highs for our economy, rising wages before the pandemic, 400 miles of wall to stop the caravans, who drew down troops in the Middle East and showed empathy for the forgotten men and women of our country. It's why so many people love him so much, and it's why they're kicking all of us. This president has faced unprecedented hatred and resistance from big media, big tech, and big egos from congressional leaders on both sides of the aisle. Before the rioters tore through that glass, Speaker Pelosi stood at that rostrum and tore through the president's State of the Union speech, inciting anger, resentment, division. Some believe that truly these true colors are being shown now through this divisive partisan impeachment. The speaker said to us just moments ago, words matter. But apparently those words don't matter when they're uttered by Democrats. When the gentlelady from Massachusetts calls for unrest in the streets. When the gentlelady from California brazenly brags that she called for people to get in the faces of those who serve and support the president. I denounce political violence from all ends of the spectrum, but make no mistake, the left in America has incited far more political violence than the right. For months, our cities burned, police stations burned, our businesses were shattered, and they said nothing. Or they cheerled for it, and they fundraised for it, and they allowed it to happen in the greatest country in the world. Now, some have cited the metaphor that the president lit the flame. Well, they lit actual flames, actual fires, and we
time
put them out.
Expired. There will be order in the House.
I yield back.
All right, so that's how it went down, and he's exactly right on each and every point that he made, and he made it passionately and powerfully, and that's why they wanted to gavel him down and shout him down. It's reported that Mitch McConnell will not support voting on impeachment before the inauguration of Joe Biden, but he might consider it after, because that's when Chuck Schumer will be in charge, and Chuck can take, you know, the blame for that, and Mitch McConnell can have the benefit of hopefully removing the, officially trying to remove president from office when he's already out of office. Go figure. But they want to try to stop him from having any kind of influence in the political arena, ever running again, ever doing anything. McConnell is furious with him because he lost the Senate and he blames it on Donald Trump. I remember when President Trump first came to Washington and Mitch McConnell arrogantly said, well, he just doesn't know how things go around here. He doesn't understand how it works around here, but we're going to show him. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring, but one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
At Liberty University, we believe in honoring service. That's why we offer first responder and military communities deep discounts on all of our 450-plus online programs. Military students, veterans, and spouses pay just $250 per credit hour for undergraduate and $275 to $300 per credit hour for graduate and PhD courses. First responders receive a 25% tuition discount, and those who qualify may be able to use both discounts for even greater savings. It's our way to say thank you for all you do. To learn more, text AGREE to 49595.
Barton Thorne is the principal of Cordova High School in Tennessee. Mr. Thorne now on administrative leave after he addressed students about the ongoing censorship of conservatives on social media. You can watch his remarks on ToddStarnes.com. He told the students it was dangerous for Twitter and Facebook to decide what information you should and should not be allowed to know. He called their actions frightening, and he's absolutely right. The Shelby County Office of Equity and Access said the principal's comments caused offense, but they did not clarify what that offense might be. He told the young people they needed to be aware of what was happening in America, that his job was not to tell them what to think, but just how to think. Based on what I read, I think that's what set off the school leaders. Principal Thorne is running a school, not an indoctrination center. And we need more principals like that in America. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the troubling events of the past week. As I have said, the incursion of the U.S. Capitol struck at the very heart of our republic. It angered and appalled millions of Americans across the political spectrum. I want to be very clear. I unequivocally condemn the violence that we saw last week. Violence and vandalism have absolutely no place in our country and no place in our movement. Making America Great Again has always been about defending the rule of law, supporting the men and women of law enforcement, and upholding our nation's most sacred traditions and values. Mob violence goes against everything I believe in, and everything our movement stands for. No true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. No true supporter of mine could ever disrespect law enforcement or our great American flag. No true supporter of mine could ever threaten or harass their fellow Americans. If you do any of these things, you are not supporting our movement, you are attacking it. And you are attacking our country. We cannot tolerate it. Tragically, over the course of the past year, made so difficult because of COVID-19. We have seen political violence spiral out of control. We have seen too many riots, too many mobs, too many acts of intimidation and destruction. It must stop. Whether you are on the right or on the left, a Democrat or a Republican, there is never a justification for violence. No excuses, no exceptions. America is a nation of laws. Those who engaged in the attacks last week will be brought to justice. Now I am asking everyone who has ever believed in our agenda to be thinking of ways to ease tensions, calm tempers, and help to promote peace in our country. There has been reporting that additional demonstrations are being planned in the coming days.
Okay,
both
I'm
here
in Washington.
Him
because it's a, he says speaks for a long time, and I can't play all of that for you this morning. But I wanted you to hear what he had to say. There are reports of planned demonstrations, and he's encouraging people not to do that on Inauguration Day. It occurred to me yesterday when I was hearing about all of this that perhaps I wish we could, by the millions, go to Washington and just be on our knees in prayer and sing. You know, that wouldn't that be powerful? It would really be. If I had the power to do it, I would organize it, but I don't. And hotels are making it very hard for anyone suspected of, you know, having the wrong thoughts, being able to make reservations in D.C. right now. So it would be very tough. But that's your president, and that's what he had to say last night. And he was impeached because he's such a horrible person, you see. He has orange hair, and his tweets are really offensive. He's careless with his words. He's hard on people, so he must be. But most of all, he speaks the truth. The irony is, of course, they called him a liar, but he's not. He gets some facts wrong. Yep, I think he isn't exact. Sometimes I have that problem too. Sometimes, but from my perspective, he is not a liar. He speaks the brutal truth, and that's why they just hate it. That does not work in Washington. You cannot be that truthful and speak that plainly and survive in that town. And so they don't want him to survive. And I wanted to give you the exact words that from Mitch McConnell. He believes the impeachment. Now, this is not a quote from him. This is attributed to him. He believes that the impeachment will serve to excise Trump from Republican policies or Republican Party. And that's important because it needs to be Mitch McConnell's Republican Party. What are all you people doing? You know, coming out, all you millions of people, and supporting this other person who's not one of us, who thinks very differently and, you know, doesn't help me get rich, you know, through my business dealings after all my time here in the Senate. His wife, by the way, of course, resigned Department of Transportation. I'm just dropping her name. I've met her, and she's a lovely lady, and I've heard wonderful things about her. She served under the Bush administration. But my understanding is that they have huge business interests in China. And so I'm just saying what I'm saying. I heard Mitch McConnell speak years ago in an event, first time I'd heard him in person. And my perception of him was that he was a complete pragmatist politician. I was not impressed. I didn't like him then, and I don't like him now. And so stay tuned, because they probably will bring up impeachment. Chuck Schumer will love it. And I wouldn't doubt, based on the signaling from Mitch McConnell in this article, the New York Times is, of course, helping us along here to help this all. You know, they always speak the truth and they always encourage good things, right? No, not really. That I think they'll bring up impeachment, and you may have more senators voting for impeachment. We'll see. Don't know if they're afraid of the 77 million people that voted for President Trump. I don't know. Anyway, enough of that for right now. I want to listen to what you have to say to me. I've had a lot of really interesting exchanges, not with me. I just mean one-way communications through Facebook and email, and I want to share them with all of you this morning. I had at least two people write about being part of that event on the Capitol last week. And this is from Bob. He says, I was there at the rally and at the Capitol grounds when everything happened. I spoke to two men who claimed to be patriots, but this morning I found out they are Antifa. One was identified and captured on Capitol video, and he told us that he was one of the first to fight with police and enter the Capitol. He was down in the area where we were trying to recover from the tear gas and CO2 spray. There were several news pictures of him from Portland protests. He told a much different story of the events than what took place. Unfortunately, I have to admit that I fell completely for his story. Well, Bob, that's, I understand, and I, well, how unfortunate. I don't doubt that there were mostly, this is what I think, mostly very innocent people who did, thought that was, someone described it as like a frat party atmosphere by some people who innocently thought when they entered that Capitol that they weren't going, they just, you know, they went into the rotunda, they waved flags, they were looking at the artwork. Meanwhile, though, others had a very evil intent and they were executing it, and that put everybody in the same pot. And I think, Bob, you're probably one of those people. So we pray for your safety in the aftermath of that, and maybe we can talk at some point. This is Paul. He says, I attended the rally Wednesday and would like to share a few observations. We arrived at 7 a.m. to get a good place, and when we arrived, it was obvious we were late. We settled on a spot closer to the Washington Monument. The crowd was friendly, polite, and patient. As the area filled in, we were shoulder to shoulder, and there was a good spirit in the air. Imagine 2 million people reciting the Lord's Prayer. Incredible. We said the Pledge of Allegiance and sang the national anthem, and it was awesome. There were old, young families, babies in strollers, dogs, every walk of life, to support our president and send a message to the swamp. Large American flags hovered over the crowd as they were passed hand to hand. I met people from L.A., Portland, Seattle, and all across the country. We drove 1,400 miles from the Houston area and would do it again. After POTUS asked us to join him at the Capitol, we headed down Constitution. People were picking up trash as we left the monument. As we walked past the DOJ, the crowd chanted, "Do your job!" As we came in view of the Capitol, I imagined we would sing and chant USA and other things to show Congress we were not happy with the obvious injustice. I was pleased when a black man and his family were singing the national anthem as we approached the lawn of the Capitol. He stopped singing as the crowd took over. It was electric. Then we noticed a man in black with a loudspeaker saying blasphemous things about Biden and urging people up towards the Capitol, saying, "This is our time. The revolution has begun. Come on." I noticed a few guys in paramilitary outfits and another carrying a riot shield, and I knew they weren't the patriots I had been with all morning. Then we heard flash grenades and saw the tear gas up on the Capitol, and I knew it was time to leave. And he sent pictures. So that's just stories from two of our listeners. If you have more stories to share, if I can have a chance to share these strategically, I will do that. I'm just saying, I will do that. All right, so now, other comments here. Let's see. Let me go to this one. This is from Donna. Now, this was almost a week ago, so that's why it's a little outdated, but I want to share with you what she said because I think it has broader implications. She said, "I listened to your radio show on Thursday morning, and you said it was over, and that God said no in answer to our prayers. That is not true. I believe there are prophets today, and I follow a few prophets, and they all say President Trump will serve another 4 years, and this election is not over. I believe God is looking for faith on the earth. I believe a movement to come to Christ will come out of what is about to happen. You could say we're at that Red Sea moment when Moses and the people were trapped at the Red Sea, and the people lost faith and wanted to go back to Egypt to enslavement. They didn't trust God. I believe we are at a moment where there seems no hope and people feel it is over, but God is about to move in a mighty way, and when President Trump gets inaugurated, people will say, only God could have done that." And then she goes on to describe the prophets who she follows. So, Donna, let me just listen to me, okay? Be really careful. You must know that a true prophet of God, like the prophets of the Old Testament, the definition of prophecy, the definition of a person who is a prophet called by God, includes the fact that they have to be 100% accurate every single time. God is not speaking to a person who gets things wrong, even small things. They might get some things right, but if they get anything wrong, this is not from God. And you can see now that this is not going to happen. These prophets were wrong. They are not prophets of God. They're false prophets. And we know that in the latter days there will be false prophets. There are going to be lots of them, and Jesus warned us about that. So they are not prophets of God. You need to stop listening to them, just telling you. And if you want to know if someone is trustworthy, see if what they say actually happens. So let me just say that God's word is a better source. Now, I know that's not maybe as satisfying, because what you want is you want specific answers. We all do. What's going to happen to my husband's job? What's going to happen to my child? What's going to happen to the nation, to the election? What's going to happen? That's the nature of man. We all want to know the details, when, what, how. We want to know, but God never, it seems, hardly with exceptions, some exceptions, lets us know. He sets down principles. He gives us prophecies that are all the way through the Old Testament that are solid, and he basically says these are signs. And when you see these signs, you will know. Some of them are cryptic. When we hear them described in Revelation or other Ezekiel or other places or Isaiah, we're not quite sure what they mean. But then when they come to fruition, we go, oh, that's what that meant. It's kind of similar to the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. They're in the prophecies. There is this him coming in victory and glory and majesty and the whole world, you know, recognizing him. And then there's this Bethlehem prophecy about him, you know, and the prophecy in Isaiah about him suffering, being wounded for our transgressions. It doesn't make sense. How could that both be true? But they are both true. Now we understand. He was born as a human, as a baby in a manger. He lived a life. He was brutally crucified. And he is coming again as the ruler. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. So both of those things are true, but we didn't understand it when we read those prophecies. But as we saw it unfold, it made sense. That is the way God speaks to us. That's how I hear them. I hear him. Those are the people that I trust. That's how they hear them. I think sometimes God does give a word. There are times when God will speak to people. I know this for a fact. So I'm not saying that he'll speak and give them a specific sign or word about something. But in general, when it comes to this kind of stuff, he does not feel compelled. He doesn't even his own son doesn't know the time of the coming, when the end is going to come in this world. It's very clear in Scripture. So these prophets are wrong, and you need to stop listening to them. Okay, so, all right, so this is from Karsten. He says, I am a German native living with my wife, Cindy, in Arkansas, and I'm stunned by what's happening in this, my home country of choice. As a German, I saw the signs of communism way ahead, just like you, and have been warning people all along. So sad. Thank you for staying fast and keep fighting. Know if it means anything that we stand with you. Of course, it means tremendous amount, Karsten, because we are all in this together. I would say this is a worldwide movement, as you know. It's not just happening here. We're just a little behind the eight ball. We're catching up. And certainly in Europe, communism has entrenched itself in the form of the European Union and a form of all the speech codes there. It's creeping into all the Western civilization nations. Their cultures are being eradicated, their customs, their history. And so this is part of what communism does. It tries to erase your personal identity so that you only have the state to have allegiance to. So you know that, Karsten. And this is a worldwide situation, and we really are all in this together. But God told us, back to prophecy, we knew that this kind of thing was going to happen. It's just, to me, confirmation of the truth of God's word. And in that, I am encouraged, and my heart leaps a little bit, even though I'm afraid in my flesh. I am. I worry in my flesh. Yes, I do. I think about my grandchildren. But I also have this dual understanding that this is an incredible time to be alive. And so, God bless you, Karsten, and Wiedersehen. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. We'll be right back.
target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
A petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing a million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
Across America, the enemies of freedom and God's word fuel the fires of division by promoting the lie of embedded racism. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me, Dr. Joseph Green, and Dr. Shelby Steele as we discuss critical race theory and its infiltration into society. You'll be informed, energized, and equipped to respond to the lies and counter the efforts to sow discord. Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Today, some professing Christians assert that critical theory, critical race theory, and intersectionality are helpful tools for the church. These people have an appearance of godliness, but their assertions deny the sufficiency of God's word to guide the church in living out the reconciliation Jesus secured for us on the cross. Make no mistake, as Paul told Timothy, the God-breathed scripture is sufficient for teaching, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Those who have an appearance of godliness but deny the power of God's word for doctrine and practice must be identified and avoided.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. In Samuel's day, the Philistines defeated Israel and captured the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence on earth. But every city which hosted the Ark soon found its men were afflicted with tumors. The hand of God was so heavy against them and their false god Dagon that they finally cried out to heaven. Their own priests instructed them to give glory to the God of Israel and send the Ark back to Israel with a guilt offering so they could escape the fate of Egypt at the hands of Yahweh. The Philistines discovered the hard way that no one is able to stand against the holy God of Israel. God's hand is heavy against our land this day, and if we want him to lift his hand from us, we must do what the pagans of Philistia did, fall on our faces, cry out to heaven, and give glory to the holy God of Israel. Will we do it?
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A top Chinese Communist Party influence operator boasted recently that China's old friends on Wall Street have for decades successfully compelled the U.S. government to do Beijing's bidding. A prime example was the 2013 deal brokered by then Vice President Joe Biden that gave the CCP preferential access to our capital markets and roughly $3 trillion in American investors' funds. Professor Di Dongsheng claimed that the exception was the Trump administration. He lied, thanks especially to the unstinting efforts of Wall Street veteran and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. Communist China has been able to perpetuate U.S. underwriting, even of companies building military technologies designed to destroy us. After Mr. Mnuchin leaves office next week, he's expected to resume his lucrative business dealings with China, where his serial betrayal of Trump, national security colleagues, and the country will presumably be handsomely rewarded. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right. You know, I want to open the phone lines because I'm confident you have a lot of words, a lot of things to say. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love talking to you, and so we will enjoy that. I want to tell you that, you know, this week, you already know, we've been working on our preborn campaign, and that means that we are helping preborn ministries who help hundreds of crisis pregnancy centers around the country, Christian crisis pregnancy centers, by helping them with ultrasound, just giving them financial help in every way. $28 will provide one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. And so some of you can afford that, but some of you can afford a lot more than that. We're just trying to give you an idea of what this costs. If you can help us, the phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate online to AFR.net. That's AFR.net. And while we're while Adam's getting your calls up there, let me just say, on Facebook, we have some interesting comments. I read a couple of them to you. Let's see. From Stephanie, she says, "You, lady, are an American terrorist." Well, Stephanie, I'm glad you're listening. And isn't that curious? Do you think maybe that's a little over the top? I'm sure you don't like my viewpoint, and you know I really like President Trump and support him and still do. I support all those icky, you know, people in the Congress that you don't like, that you hate, really. That's all true, but terrorist, really? I haven't shot a gun in a long time. I haven't killed anyone lately or planned any insurrections. So I'm just telling you, in case you really think I'm a terrorist. So I'm just saying to you, wherever you are, however old you are, this is actually dangerous because your thinking is getting distorted. You can dislike someone's views, but this is what's happening in the nation's capital. Everything's getting distorted. It's not true that Trump supporters are terrorists. That's just not true. It's certainly not true that I'm a terrorist. That's not true. You can hate me. You're free to do that. You're free to, you know, disagree and argue with me, but you can't call me a terrorist, you know, because that's not true. So really, for your own sake, I think you need to think more clearly. This is from Justin. He says, "This is fantastic. Not only are the anti-American Trumpist seditionists that attacked America being arrested, they are also being placed on the national no-flight list. In addition, their terrorist planning site Parler is now shut down." I think he means like happy. He's really happy at hearing this Trumpist cry about being kicked off the plane and being called a terrorist. "The only way we can, I think it means heal this nation, is to get rid of the cancer called Trumpism." So, Justin, yeah, a lot worse things are going to be happening to us. There's no question about it. I see it clearly. A lot more punishments coming than just that. So you'll have a lot more reasons to be happy. I have to tell you, you're going to watch a lot of people really be punished, losing their jobs, and you're going to see churches shut down because they can't be funded, because people, middle class, are losing their incomes. We're going to see a lot of really bad things, and so be prepared for more rejoicing on your part. But Justin, what you don't understand, what you truly don't understand, because I just think, I'm guessing you're younger, and you don't know what you don't know. And what you don't know is that the underpinnings of our free society are being destroyed. And when that happens, it won't just affect Trumpers or Trumpists or Donald Trump. What happens, if you have any knowledge of the history of totalitarianism or these kinds of takeovers, is that nobody has free speech anymore except the very small group of people who are in charge. And that means that somewhere along the line, it's going to be really tough for you. Plus, I expect the economy is going to take a nosedive. Not right away, maybe. No, not right away. But there's so many things happening that are going to affect you, too. And then there won't be so much laughter or cheering. So just heed my words and take that for what I believe it's worth. All right, I want to go to the phone lines. Let's go to Alan in Oklahoma. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Sandy. Okay, I'd just like to say everybody's reporting that President Trump is the only president to have that title bestowed on him as the only president ever impeached twice. I would like to point out that both impeachments were based on fraud. What we know now is that the Democrat Party actually created that Steele dossier, and there ain't nobody in the world that convinced me otherwise that Pelosi pulled back on the security at the Capitol. This was all orchestrated. It was infiltrated. It was not Trump supporters that did this travesty against the Capitol, and I think it was all orchestrated with intent of this is their way to finally get rid of Batman Orange and get him out.
Yes, and his supporters. He always said, Alan, that he was standing against us and tyranny, and he was. He always said, this is not about me. It's about you. And he's right about that, and that's what you're saying. Let me I was going to make a point, and it went right out of my head. It was important. I guess I'll think of it later. But Alan, I know what it was. I just read this morning that actually the FBI, you know, denied that they had any prior knowledge of people coming in to do harm, and that's not true. A field office in another, I believe it's somewhere in Virginia, said that, I don't know if they did it, they probably did it, I don't know if they did it to contradict, but they made a public statement that they, yes, the reports came out, everyone got briefings on this, they briefed the police, they did know, and so I think that confirms your suspicion. And we know from the Capitol Hill police chief, who has now resigned, that he was begging for help and they denied it. Muriel Bowser, the House, the Senate, I think it was the House Sergeant at Arms, the Senate one, I think, was more inclined to go along with it. So I think you're absolutely right. I'm sure we'll find, we will, hopefully, God willing, find out more as the days transpire. Thank you, Alan. Sorry, having allergies this morning. Joanne in Arkansas, good morning.
Yeah, hi. I was just going to say I encountered a couple the other day at a store I was at. We finished checking out at the same time and we were outside. And they didn't have masks on. And I said, well, it looks like we're going to be wearing masks forever, you know, because Joe Biden made a comment as soon as he got in. And they said, oh, things are going to change soon. And then somehow it came up about people getting together. They said they have a meeting at their house every week. And then the man said, people are going to die. But he said, just meditate and, you know, don't worry about things. And anyway, I thought, whoa, who are you? And when I left, their car was in front of me, and it had every bumper sticker on earth, and on the back of it, I'm like 30 bumper stickers, you know, like Resist and Bernie and all that okay. stuff. But anyway.
And they said people are going to die?
Yeah.
They said that to you?
The guy said.
In front of the store?
Yes.
Well, I said, you saw yes. That is cheerful. Thank you for cheering me up. But anyway, well, Joanne, isn't that interesting? And that is kind of the evil that is we've known is existing is going to come to surface more. Because it's going to be more emboldened than it has been. We didn't think that was possible, did we? But neighbors and friends, I'm going to let you go, Joanne, but thank you very much for that story. You know, one of the things that they discovered, I read a book by a former, trying to think of his name. He was a Nazi war camp resident, prisoner, and he wrote a book called The Sunflower. And in the book, among other things, he observes that the murderers in the camp, the guards and the murderers, you know, you always think they're kind of some breed set apart, that they're like that wicked criminal element. But he said it really wasn't true. They were like bakers. They were, you know, teachers. They were and tradesmen, housewives. Well, probably not housewives because they didn't use women in the camps. But they were ordinary people who somehow and became extremely vicious, and I do think that's what we're going to see. We're going to see it is human nature. I don't understand it. We've not seen it in this country, but the wicked part of many, many people, and we all have the potential, is going to be unleashed, and we're going to see it. Let's go to Monty in Virginia. Good morning, Monty.
You know, Sandy, let me be very brief. Heartland Pictures, A Pale Horse, General Boykin. Do you remember that DVD or not?
I remember the name of it, but I don't remember seeing it.
I will send you my copy, but it's quite lengthy. General Boykin talks about Agenda 21 and Charlie Rich. This whole thing since 2013 has been accumulated with truth. Every time an American that is not only a patriot does something good, you have the evil side of what democracy is no longer democracy. We are a republic, and people forget. Democracies don't make great nations. Republics are great nations, and America is a great nation. And Donald Trump deserves every one of the supports, just like me in Culpeper, Virginia. We love that man so much, and I know you do, that he is going to be exonerated regardless of what the ridiculous Democratic Party is doing. But if you can't look that up, it's A Pale Horse.
Yeah, I'll find it. Yes, I remember. I do remember it. I probably have it, Monty. So don't send it. I'll look in my own files or I'll talk to General Boykin. You don't need to send that to me.
Amen.
But thank you.
God bless you. You're wonderful.
Thank you, Monty. Very kind of you. Thank you. Let's go to Michael in Mississippi. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Sandy. This is talking kind of about what y'all were doing yesterday with the show, but I just wanted to give a real big warning to anybody if they see any protest being called where it says call for arms or anything like that. That is Antifa. That is BLM. That is confirmed false flags that's been going on. We've known for 2 weeks that on the Antifa Discord servers they've been planning this. We knew 2 weeks before the 6th that they were planning to do the same thing there. If there's anybody in the FBI listening, they need to understand that that's where they need to start looking. I'm sure they already know about it, but Discord needs, their servers need to be shut down. That is a terrible place where people are spreading information and planning this stuff.
Is Discord a server? I never heard of it before.
It's a service where you can have chat and share information and things like that. They actually took down every Trump-supported server or private service where people were sharing information about 2 weeks ago because they've been planting information. Antifa has been infiltrating those servers, planting, you know, false statements and trying to act like Trump supporters. Yeah. And but they've got stuff they've sent to the FBI. They've got stuff they've sent to the news stations of flyers, and you can tell they're fake. You can tell they're, you know, they have Marxism as far as the symbolism and stuff like that, but they're trying to say it's, you know, the Boogaloo Boys or things like that. And so that if anybody sees any kind of rally that says bring firearms, that is a red flag, period. And people need to stay as far away. They're going to be doing this for a long time, trying to paint the MAGA movement as a domestic terrorist organization.
Michael, let me interrupt you because I want to ask you something. The report I got about the FBI this morning said that this field office, again, I think it's in Virginia, but it's not. They're contradicting the federal office to say that they did have warning, and I read part of it as much as I had time to, and it sounded like people on our side were organizing to you know have an insurrection, and I would be interesting to know if that was exactly what you were describing, because I was wondering as I read it, I thought. I realize that we are, as Americans, very beside ourselves. They are destroying businesses. They're destroying our lives. It's interesting to me. I will say this. We have watched the American people, just the people. We've seen them attacked in the streets. We've watched their heads be bashed in, beaten within an inch of their life. We've watched their stores be destroyed, not only by Antifa and Black Lives Matter, but also by COVID restrictions. And no one in Capitol Hill, except for some Republicans, seems to give a whit. They don't seem to care. But once their sacred space and once they were personally threatened, that's where they think the whole world resides. They have such a distorted view of what a democratic republic is. That's what when Mitch McConnell said, they're trying to destroy democracy, destroy our democracy, because they came into the Capitol building and they felt threatened. But they don't care that the American people have been feeling threatened and have actually been hurt and some killed and their businesses destroyed. That's not so bad. But boy, coming to the Capitol and doing anything, you know, in resistance must be stopped. Well, Michael, you obviously have a lot of information, and I appreciate when you call and share it. So thank you very much, and God bless and protect you. All right, thank you so much for all of your good calls and all of your great remarks on Facebook, including calling me, you know, what am I, a terrorist? Well, you know, because I'm glad they're listening. I'm glad they're listening. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.